Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 16 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, it is brought to you by our good friends at the Ankeny Office of Iowa Realty. They are located at 1802 Southeast Delaware, suite number 103. Iowa Realty is the proud sponsor of Ankeny Fanatic. They have 75 agents specializing in residential, commercial, farm, and land properties. Before we get to our main guest today, we do have a special guest from Iowa Realty in the office. He is the president of Iowa Realty. He is Brennan Buckley. Brennan, thanks for coming in. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Well, tell me about your company.
Well, we've been around a while. Started in 1952 and have been a mainstay in the community, not just here in Ankeny, but in central Iowa and, of course, the state of Iowa. We've got about 1,000 professionals in 40 communities across the state. And here in central Iowa, we've got about 675 wonderful agents. And then in Ankeny, as you mentioned, 75 just fantastic agents. We pride ourselves on having really good agents on board, training them, and they're real pros.
So do you have to go around and check in on all the different offices that you have?
From time to time, yeah. That's the part of the job I really like. I think most of us that are in real estate are here because we love people. And real estate agents they're great. I mean, they're a lot of fun and there's a lot of variety, a lot of personalities. And so I love getting out into the offices. This is most definitely one of my favorite offices because the agents and the leadership here they're just a lot of fun.
There's a lot of good people here. I know several of your agents personally myself. So
yeah.
Well, tell me about the real estate industry in general. Is there anything unique about, you know, this time of year with what's going on?
Yeah, I mean, normally things are slowing down a little bit out of the summer, but they pick back up around Labor Day, and that's happening right now. We've had a lot of growth here in central Iowa. I think a lot of people know we're 650,000 as a metro now. We're expected to hit 1 million in 21 years. That's a 50% growth rate, which is among the highest in the country. So there's a lot of growth, a lot of construction, a lot of good things going on, and it's busy. And so there's never a dull moment in real estate. And I would say central Iowa, among many markets in the country, is experiencing as much growth as you could find out there.
Do you feel like there's anything unique about, you know, your company that kind of sets you guys apart?
Well, our company is our agents and our employees, and I really believe that they are among the best in the business. They are, you know, they're good professionals. They know their stuff, but they've got good hearts. Many real estate agents are in this business, not just for the transactions of homes, but because they have a front row seat to some pretty big steps in people's lives, and they help them. They help them find a new house or sell a house or go through a big life event. And I think if you asked most real estate agents, they're going to say that's what they take away from this business more than anything else.
Well, I just ran into one of your agents who actually sold me my house about 20 years ago. I was surprised that she recognized me, but that was kind of neat.
Well, it sounds like maybe it's time to move again.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll let you know if we think about that.
Yeah, so. Good.
Well, Brennan, thanks for coming in. Appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
All right. Well, now we want to bring in our main guest for today. He is in his 50th year as a high school football coach here in Ankeny. He ranks second among Iowa's all-time football coaching wins leaders. Of course, I'm talking about Ankeny Centennial co-head coach Jerry Pizzetti. Jerry, thanks for coming in. Appreciate it.
Thank you for asking me.
You bet. Well, I know you're busy preparing for Friday's game against Marshalltown, but we've got to start with last Friday's win over Dowling Catholic at Valley Stadium. You know, congratulations on beating the Maroons for the second straight year. You know, where would you say that win ranks on your list of all-time, you know, great coaching victories?
Well, of course, if you could beat a team like Dowling, it has to be way up there. And we're so proud of our coaching staff and, of course, our players, number one. You know, they went down there and put out a tremendous effort. The game could have gone either way. We played great, great defense. We didn't move the ball like we're hopefully of moving it. But it's a great start for us, and we know that we have to get better, and we're going to work hard to get better.
Well, just like last year's game, your team was down at the half before rallying in the second half. You know, did you guys make a lot of adjustments at the half, or was it just a matter of playing better?
We really didn't. We knew, though, going in, if we were going to win the game, we had to control the ball offensively. Well, we didn't do that. We only had one first down the first half, and then we got, you know, some breaks there and took advantage of it. Dowling's an excellent ball club with a lot of talent and well-coached. And we're just happy that, you know, we got out there with a victory.
Well, incredibly, that was your fourth straight win at Valley Stadium. You guys have beaten Dowling twice in a row now. Before that, you had beaten Valley in the regular season back in 2015. You won a quarterfinal playoff game there in 2016. So, boy, you guys have had a lot of success there.
When you beat a Valley and a Dowling at their home field or anywhere, it's a great, great victory. There's very few 4A teams that can say that they ever defeated those teams, you know, even in the last 20 years. But I told our young men, I just love that locker room because we were fortunate enough to defeat Valley two times straight and then come back against Dowling two times straight. And they're excellent football teams. The games could have gone either way. Yeah, I guess it shows, too, that, you know, offense is important, defense is important, but every one of those four games came down to a kick.
Well, all four of those games were fairly low scoring. In that game the other night, your offense was held to just one first down and 49 total yards in the first half. You know, is that the kind of game you expected, you know, a real defensive battle like that?
Well, I was hoping that we would move the ball better than that. And that's the things that we have to work on and get a more balanced attack. And, you know, we have some very good offensive football players, but I guess you have to give credit to Dowling's defense, too.
Well, of course, your defense gave up a touchdown on Dowling's opening drive and then shut them down the rest of the way. You know, what can you say about your defense? You guys have allowed only 14 points in four games.
Our coaches are just doing an excellent job, and our kids, we're not big, but we do move well, and we're quick, and we're tough, and that's what it's all about. And we're so proud of them, and, you know, it's hard to say get better, but of course we're every Friday night's a different game, a different offense, and our coaches are working extremely hard to maintain our leadership there and how we're playing.
Well, I think coming into the season, you guys only returned maybe a couple of starters on defense. Are you surprised at how dominant you guys have been?
Absolutely, and I think, you know, we're playing five or six juniors, we were able to get a combination there of people moving in at the right positions.
Well, I know the players have been quick to credit Coach Helgeson the times that I've talked to them, you know, for the unit's success. You know, does he design a lot of different schemes each week, or is it more just a matter of, you know, putting the kids in the right spots?
Putting the kids in the right spots. Coach Jones is also co-defensive coach, and he's very, very good at that. And then Jeff, of course, does most of the scheming. So they're able to work together, and we also have Coach Fontana with the defensive line was playing very well. And we have a backfield coach by Greg Wino, and we have Evan Johnson now. He's in charge of our rush end. And so we're very fortunate to have five people there. Of course, all of them are not paid coaches. They're volunteers. And we're able to use our people offensively and defensively. And Ryan and I do take care of these people somewhat, give them some gas money, and it's all for the kids.
Well, one of the question marks surrounding your team coming into the season was at quarterback, where Garrett Seversyke, you know, he saw some action last year, but now he was going to be, you know, counted upon to be the man. You know, and he really hasn't put up a lot of huge numbers, and he's certainly not the flashiest quarterback, but, boy, he's done a great job, hasn't he?
He's a tremendous leader, and we were talking yesterday that he's never lost a game that he started at the varsity level. He quarterbacked us through five wins last year, and he's now quarterbacked us through four this year. He's not the fastest in the world, but when it comes to leadership, he's an outstanding leader.
When you also had some question marks at running back coming into the season, you guys had to replace two-time 1,000-yard rusher Jensen Gates. You know, but his brother Avery, who scored the winning touchdown the other night on an 80-yard run, he's been a pretty good replacement, huh?
Absolutely. He makes the big play for us, and he made some nice plays in all four of our games. And we also have Godwin. We also have Cahill and some other people that are doing a very nice job.
Well, let's look ahead a little bit and talk about Marshalltown. You know, now you're facing a 3-1 team that was averaging more than 40 points per game before they lost at Ames last week, 21-13. What concerns you about the Bobcats?
Well, you know, like I said before, every Friday night's a different game. And we're playing a team now that runs the wing tee, and they run the basic wing tee where they run the fullback trap and they run the bootleg and plays like that. So we're just going to have to work hard to prepare for this. We got rained out of our practice on Tuesday, so we did miss a day. But we're going to have a great practice the rest of the week and get ready for them. And anytime you're playing a team that's 3-1, it's the first game of the district. Their only loss was by 7 points. We just know that if you're not ready to play, we're in trouble.
Well, you mentioned that this will be your first district game. After Friday night, your other opponents will be Southeast Polk, Fort Dodge, Roosevelt, and Sioux City West. What do you think of your new district this year, and also that new playoff qualifying format where only the district champion will automatically qualify?
As far as our district, you know, probably the team that has one win probably is the best talented team we'll play, and that's Southeast Polk. And, of course, Fort Dodge has thrown the ball all over the place. Passers, I think, is up to 1,700 yards in four games. So we go up there. That's going to be tough. West Sioux City has more wins than any team in Sioux City and Council Bluffs. So I guess it's very simple. You got to play one at a time. And, you know, every Friday night's different. And as far as the new playoff system, the RPI, whatever that stands for, I'm not sure.
Uh-huh.
But I have seen how it is right now. And we are number one, I guess. And I don't know how it will work out, but I think the most important thing, and it probably will work out at the end, but I hope the best 16 teams are in the playoffs.
Well, yeah, you certainly have to feel good about being 4-0 at this point, because this new system does place more importance on all nine games and not just the district games. So some of those teams, you know, like Dowling and I think Waukee are both 2-2. You know, they really don't have much margin for error, do they?
No, they don't. They have to win their district. And you just mentioned two outstanding teams. And, you know, Waukee played Valley last week. It could have gone either way. In fact, Waukee had a 2-score lead with 2 minutes left, you know. And Valley's an excellent team. Waukee is, and they're 2-2. And we know Dowling is, and there's some others out there.
That's going to be interesting, isn't it, the playoff race?
Yes, it is. And I think what they're going to do, I'm not sure about this, is when the 16 teams make it, they're going to try to seed them, and maybe the East and West will go back and forth.
Well, that'll definitely be interesting. Well, you entered this season yourself with 412 coaching wins, so now you're at 416, which puts you 16 behind all-time leader Dick Teague. You know, is that a record you'd like to break?
I really don't think about it. You know, I'm just happy, you know, it's week to week, and I want to see our team do well. I want to see them win. And, you know, I really haven't thought that much about it. Dick's a tremendous coach and coached for several years, and, you know, his wins are unbelievable. And anyway, you know, what it is, it is, you know.
When you got into coaching, you know, did you ever imagine that you'd be coaching for more than, you know, 50 years?
Absolutely not. My first job when I was 22 years old, I had 17 out for football, and 11 of them were freshmen. And we lost our first 5 games. We did win our last 3. And at that time, I wasn't too sure we'd ever get one win. So anyway, it's all the kids and the coaches that we work with and the people that are behind our program.
Well, for those that don't know your background, you coached at Murray, and you won 49 games in 6 years at Melcher Dallas before taking the job at Ankeny in 1969. You won 319 games in 45 years at Ankeny, including a couple of state titles. You won your first state title in 1997, and that was one heck of a team. I remember covering that team about 20 years ago. What do you remember most about that team?
Oh, gee, you know, the western side of the state, you know, had really not won a championship game. Newton, you know, which is further east, of course, did, I think, in 1980 or so. But, you know, the Bettendorfs and the Iowa Cities kind of dominated it, you know, and here we are, you know, playing Iowa City High for the state championship. And, yeah, it was great.
Well, and then, of course, you won another state title then in 2012, the last year for the one program in Ankeny. And that was pretty much a perfect way for you to go out there at Ankeny, wasn't it?
Absolutely, because we had excellent talent. We had a very good team. And to get to the state championship, we had to go through the Dowling and the Valley, the so forth and so on. And we got there. And Xavier, you know, and that then I stop and watch the Iowa football team play, and both of those Nelson's kids, defensive players, we played against both of them. One played for Waukee, and one played for
Xavier, right?
Xavier, yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Well, that 2012 team was led by Joel Lanning, who went on to play quarterback at Iowa State before making the transition to linebacker last season. You know, did you ever imagine when Joel was playing quarterback for you in high school that, you know, he might have a chance to play in the NFL as a linebacker?
No, but I know that Joel's one great, great athlete, whether it's football or baseball or wrestling or whatever, you know. And Joel stopped over a week ago or so for dinner. And he's just a great young man with a lot of talent. He's got some things going for him.
Yeah, he certainly does. Well, then you made the move over to Centennial in 2013 and have co-coached the team, you know, ever since with your son, Ryan. And I know you guys were concerned, you know, at the start, you know, about the split and how you would do, you know, after that. But so far you guys have gone 45-15 in five-plus seasons. You know, are you surprised that the success came so quickly for you guys?
Yes. I thought, you know, when we split, both schools had about 900 high school kids. And then you look at some of these other schools that have 1,800 to 2,000, you know, I thought, you know, things are tough. And I figured maybe it would take 10 years or so. But it hasn't. But like I said, you know, you can have success one day and it can all turn on you on the next Friday night. So I guess we just got to make sure that we keep it going.
Well, like we mentioned earlier, you've coached now for more than half a century. What do you think have been the biggest changes in the game over the years?
The biggest changes, I think that everyone's throwing the ball a whole lot more. A lot of teams use the same offense. I think defensively, coaches are doing so much better job with technique. And, you know, the game has changed. And a lot of the new rules are for safety, which I think is very important. And, you know, like hands are so important anymore. We're like, you have a hands defense and the blocking styles are different too. And as far as, you know, the drive block and everything like that.
Do you think the kids have changed at all over the years? Do you change the way you coach them?
I guess I'm not sure of that. I don't think they have changed. I think they want to be successful. I think they sacrifice a whole bunch of things to be successful. I think we ask more from them now than we ever did before, whether it's weightlifting, meetings, and things like that. I just think that the coaching techniques, the coaching time it takes, the dedication of the players, that's maybe the number one change I've seen.
When you've had so many players over the years who have gone on to become coaches, many of them are still coaching with you. You've got to take a lot of pride in the fact that a lot of those players have wanted to kind of follow in your footsteps.
Absolutely, and that's what makes our program hopefully as good as it is.
Well, Jerry, I know you also have some interest outside of football, including horse racing. How did your interest in horse racing develop?
Well, I was a little bit older, I guess, when I moved to Ankeny. I guess I was 31 years old at that time, and I started going to Exarban, and I really enjoyed it, and I taught driver's ed at that time, and I tried to set up my Wednesday afternoon so I could go to Exarban, and it was a great thing to do. It got me away from the coaching aspect of it, and a chance to cheer for somebody else, and it was always the horse that I wanted to win, hopefully.
Uh-huh. Well, even though it's been nice to have Prairie Meadows, you know, nearby here, I don't know about you, but I sure miss those days of Exarban. So much fun to go over there.
It was so much fun. It was a two-hour trip over and a two-hour trip back, and we'd get home at 12 o'clock at night and work the next day, and thank goodness for youth at that time.
Yeah, and didn't you have a place in Walnut that you like to stop to eat in?
Yeah, we'd stop and eat our buffet for $5, and we tried to eat $10 worth of, but it was fun.
Yeah, I wonder if that place is still there.
I don't think so.
Well, I know you've also been to the Kentucky Derby a few times. You know, that's probably a bucket list item for a lot of people, isn't it?
especially with the Allball family and Jason to invite me to go. You know, it was just great fun, and when you know someone that has a horse in the Derby, it really makes it fun because you're treated in a very special way. And I'll always remember the times that we went, and I was so proud or lucky to be invited by them.
Well, I know Ryan's also gotten involved with it, and he works with Jason, and they try to help identify, you know, foals that they might be interested, you know, in purchasing. You know, do you understand exactly what it is that they do to try to find those horses?
No, I don't. I think they try to measure the horse's heart and things like that, and I guess it's a little bit like football. You know, you got to have the heart, you know, to do it, and I guess to run to, you know.
Well, isn't there some math involved too, where they punch in some numbers?
I'm not up on that, but I think Ryan does that. So.
Well, I know he has a lot of fun doing that. So. Well, Jerry, thanks for coming in. Really appreciate having you in today.
Thank you for inviting me.
You bet. You've been listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. Iowa Realty is very proud and fortunate to have Home Services Lending, Iowa Title, Midland Title and Escrow, and Home Services Insurance as part of their one-stop shopping model. They're able to help you buy and sell anywhere in the state of Iowa. They can also help you, your family, and friends who are moving from anywhere to anywhere in the world through their business affiliates. If you would like information on how to become a realtor, you can call Mike Stanbro at 453-5350. That number again is 453-5350. Or you can email Mike at mikestanbro, STANBROUGH, @iowarealty.com. Come back next week for another episode of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast.